Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, the 11th of September, and welcome to episode number one of The Beer Crate, a podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national and international breweries, and of course, tasting a selection of beers, ales and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, feedback, a review of the Belgian Beer Weekend, an explanation of IPA, quick tastings, and our Try Before You Die section. So, let's get cracking. First up is news. And the most earnest piece of news for this month has been the passing of Michael Jackson. He died on the 30th of August through Parkinson's. Friends of his are beginning a national toast to him later on in the month. This has currently been set for September the 30th, but may change. When this information has been finalised, it will be hosted at Michael's own website, beerhunter.com. This week on the Drinker's Diary, we have three beer festivals for you. The first is in Birmingham, from Thursday the 13th to Saturday the 15th. The second is in Somerset, at Minehead. This is from the 15th to the 16th. And thirdly, we have the St. Albans Beer Festival, held in St. Albans, from Wednesday the 26th to Saturday the 29th of September. And now for feedback. But as this is the first episode of The Beer Crate, we don't have any. But if you would like to make sure we have some feedback for next week, be sure to send your emails to thebeercrate@gmail.com. And I'll be giving you that address at the end of the show. So, the Belgian Beer Weekend. How was it? In a word, great. This is the 9th year it's run, and it's held every year in September in the Grand Place in the middle of Brussels. It's organised by the Belgian brewers, and it's their job to actually get all the different breweries into the Grand Place with their beers so that people like you and I can try a whole wide range of beers that we wouldn't normally get to. The brewers also have another role, which is that of safe beer consumption. They make a very good point in the booklet that you get when you go in, which is we must combat alcohol abuse, not alcohol consumption. Something that unfortunately gets lost a lot of time. So, what was it? Well, the Grand Place is taken over by about 30 different brewery stands. They go from John Martin to Lindemann's. The Bavik Brewery were there, as were Palm. A lot of names that you may or may not have heard of. But every single one will have about three or four different beers available. Some on tap, some in bottles. And you buy yourself a collection of beer tokens, which are beer caps, at the little booths outside. And you go in and you'll buy your beers with beer bottle caps. That was very quaint. Beers range in price from two bottle caps, which works out to be about €1.50, to four, which is €3. And unlike the beer festivals in the UK, where you hire a glass for the duration of the evening, here, every time you buy a beer, it's served in its own glass. That's because every beer has its own glass, and the Belgians are very particular about this, and I can't say I blame them. The glasses are always clean and well kept, and often cool when necessary, so you know the beer is going to be as good as it possibly can be. The weather was good on both days, and as you'd expect for an open-air beer festival, it was busy. Even the rain on the second day did not deter that many people. Naturally, the best time to go is early morning. By early, we're talking 11 o'clock. So, for some, that is early. For some, not particularly early at all. During my time at the festival, I did hear a number of English, Scottish, and Irish accents. So it's not just the local beer festival. In fact, the actual consumption in Belgium has apparently shrunk over this last year. This puts the yearly intake to about 89 litres per person. I think you can guess how much of that we all drink during the Belgian Beer Weekend. So, what is an IPA? IPA stands for India Pale Ale and is named after the beers that were shipped out to the colonies of Britain, such as India, in the 1700s. The problem with this was that the bacteria in the beer would kill the microbes that were needed to make beer taste like beer. Without it, beer goes flat and beer goes sour. So the brewers needed to find a way of keeping the beer fresh on its journey from England to India. Their solution was to add more hops. More hops means more fermentation. More fermentation means more alcohol. More alcohol kills more bacteria. And with fewer bacteria, there is less chance of it going flat or sour. Consequently, most IPAs you will find have a little more bitterness and a little more alcohol than usual. The favourite IPA in Britain is probably the Green King IPA. This has been rated as the number one cask ale in the country. It does have a fresh hoppy taste, as you'd expect, and is available in a lot of pubs. So, next time you're in one and they have an IPA, you know what it stands for and you can tell everyone else. Tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Pink Killer from the Desilly Brewery. This is 4.7%, should be drunk between 4 and 7 degrees. As you'd expect, it's pink in colour, and has grapefruit and coriander and orange peel in it. Now, it is fruity and thirst-quenching and not particularly sickly sweet, and it's very good for hot summer days. It's one of those sit-outside-just-drink-it kind of a beers. It's also very good to lighten the palate after you've been drinking a lot of darker ales. I'd give it about a 7 out of 10. Black Hole from the Roman Brewery. This comes in at 5.6% and is pretty much a Grolsch with a metallic hue. But considering it's only a pils, it's not that bad a beer. It's just not what a lot of us want. 4 out of 10. Chapeau Fraise. Now, this is a fruit beer from the Chapeau de Troc brewery, and Fraise is French for strawberries. And yes, it does taste like strawberries. Fresh ones, apparently. It's got a very similar kind of a taste in that to a trifle or a jelly, because the creaminess of a trifle really comes through with this. And what I've been told is the strawberries are like a fresh strawberry taste rather than a strawberry concentrate kind of tastes. I have to take this at face value because I don't eat strawberries, but apparently they're quite nice. The Chapeau Fraise is only 3.5% alcohol, and they're only 25cl bottles, so you don't have to worry about the alcohol content on this one. For me, it's 8 out of 10. The Whitcap Pater Double. This is 7% and a dark ale. It's very strong, very solid. It's got double malt, so it has a slight sweetness to it, which brings it in line with something you'd expect from a winter ale, but without the Christmas branding, which usually means they add cinnamon. No cinnamon in this, but a good beer nevertheless, and it holds a wet aftertaste. 8 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Lefebvre. This is completely worth the Try Before You Die status, as it is a supremely tasty beer, but one that is readily available in most off-licenses and supermarkets. It's got a very roasted malt and caramel bitter and sweet taste and everything that you want from a good dark beer. It's 6.5%, which is not particularly strong knowing a lot of the other dark beers that you can get from Belgium. Like these other beers, it should be served between 3 to 5 degrees and in a chalice glass. This is one of the large, bold type of glasses. It's definitely worth seeking one out, because by doing so you can get the good head that's necessary for the Leffe. The trick to pouring is to first wash the glass with water and then leave a small amount of water in it. This allows the beer to stick to the side as you pour. Bottle and glass should be tilted so that the beer runs down the side of the bottle. The beer comes from the Notre Dame de l'Effet Abbey, which was founded in 1152. This is actually in South Belgium, somewhere near Namur. However, it's now brewed in the Stella Artois brewery in Leuven, near Brussels. The Lefebvre beer in particular was created around 1664 and is one of six main beers that comes under the Leffe name. Now, obviously, after Leffe Brun, there's Leffe Blonde. This is similar, but not quite as bitter, and has a rich amber colour. Is also very worth checking out, 6.6%. Now, there's three which come in at 8.4. That's the Leffe Triple, the Leffe Radios, and the Leffe Ville Cuvée. Now, the Triple is notable since it's the only bottle-conditioned beer that they have in the Leffe collection, and used to be brewed at the Hoegaarden Brewery. The other Leffe to consider is the Leffe 9, and if Leffe Brun didn't exist, Leffe 9 would be getting the Try Before You Die treatment. This is another really, really good beer from the Leffe stable. The 9 comes from the 9% alcohol by volume, and is certainly equal to the Brun, although obviously being much stronger, you can't drink as much. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.